I'm not checking for messages. Our clock's not working back there, and I'll try to be kind to you. Boy, so many things came to mind as Brother Kenneth was speaking this morning, especially about that analogy of the wheel and the spokes, and Christ being the hub. What would happen? What kind of a service would we have if nobody showed up for the song service? Nobody. Or if they showed up and nobody cracked a book. What kind of a church service would that be? Tell me. There you go. My point is, that's our opportunity to praise God for his goodness and mercy upon us. And if we don't have any desire to praise God, we must not be thinking about any of his goodness and mercy upon us. And so if this service were to happen without any song service, without any praise, and we all left and went home, we might have gotten something from what was said, but God wouldn't get any praise from the church. You know, pastor is supposed to be there, and pastor is supposed to have a message, and the pastor is supposed to preach the message. But what about worship? What about praise? Isn't it important? Absolutely. There's a reason why God's people have met and practiced that form of worship all these many years. And so if there's not a desire to praise him, we need to be examining our heart. Now, I'm not saying everybody's got a good voice. I'm not saying everybody knows how to sing and all that. But there ought to be a desire to praise God. And if there's not that desire, maybe we're not looking to him as we should. I appreciate all that Brother Kenneth had to say about, and he's absolutely right. Amen. Amen. What we need, in addition to all that's been said this morning, what we need is to see our Lord high and lifted up. We need to see that every day. We're not in church every day, but we need to see that every day, so that we have that desire within our hearts to lift him up, to give him praise and honor, glory. I ran across a quote recently. Let me share this with you in the beginning of our message. Modern religion focuses on filling church houses with people, but the true gospel emphasizes filling people with God. Don't we need that more than anything? We need to be filling ourselves with reminders of his goodness, with reminders of his glory, with reminders of his mercy upon us, and reminders of his long suffering as he continues to show mercy upon us. We need to be filling ourselves with God. And it can't just be for an hour or 45 minutes on Sunday morning. I mean, yes, we are commanded not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But that assembly and that praise will be a whole lot better if we have been filling ourselves with God every day of the week. That way we bring him with us when we come to church. That way we have a reason to lift him up in praise and adoration. That way we have a reason to give praise and honor and glory to his matchless name. Because there's none other in this world. None other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. He's the only one. He's the only way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father, but by me. And for that, we ought to give him praise and honor and glory every time, every day we live. Praise and honor and glory. All right? John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We'll begin in verse 1. So while you're turning to that, I got a question for you. Don't think it's a silly question. How special is Christ? How highly do you esteem that holy name? How much glory do you desire to ascribe to his name? How much honor do you desire to show to him because you're being guided by his word? How special is Christ? Think about it for a second. How special is he? Now you can add the superlatives. I'm asking the question. I want you to think. We don't have language that can adequately describe just how special he is. But we can try. We can try. Can't we? Yes. And not only does it give glory to his name, it does something for us when we do that. When we ourselves are engaged from the heart in giving praise and glory to God, it doesn't matter so much how the voice sounds. It's a matter of how the heart sounds. It's a matter of how much glory, how much sincere, you know, without the simulation, with how much sincere praise we're giving. So when we think about just how special is Christ, when you go through the first few verses of John chapter 1, there's a lot of reasons why we ought to be giving praise and honor and glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, we can go to lots of places in Scripture, but it seems like these first few verses here are so packed with reasons as why we should praise God. So, let's just notice, as we begin to look at this, in these verses, as we begin to understand how the Spirit led John to introduce us to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in our minds, we might have done a lot of things or spoken of a lot of things about who Christ is and what he came to do. But here's what God, by his Holy Spirit, led John, who, by the way, is the apostle that anybody that knows anything about the Bible, you understand that John is known as the apostle of love. And it's love which endears us to our Savior and to God. It's love. We can be impressed with his mighty works. We can be amazed at the glory of his creation. But to praise his holy name comes from love within our hearts. Love for him. Okay? And the love that he's had for us. That's, as Brother Kenneth was reading from Ephesians chapter 4, the great reason why we're to be willing to forgive one another. Because of that love that God has already manifested to us when he gave us his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we praise and adore his matchless name. There's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Do we look forward to heaven? Do we look forward to heaven's pure world? Not just better than, you know, kind of like this, but better. No, it's a pure. It's holy. It's the presence of God. And because he has changed us and fashioned us like unto his glorious body, we're permitted to be in his presence. We can't be in his presence like we are. This word says, no man, God told Moses, no man can look upon my face and live. So when we consider, how glorious he is, it brings forth praise. Now again, it might not be an audible singing, but there ought to be some praise. If we are blessed to know what he's done for us, there ought to be some praise coming forth in our life. Now, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So when we keep his commandments, there's love there, there's praise there, there's honor there. So it's not just limited to singing praises. But if we're viewing him as we should, if we're seeing him high and lifted up, if we're thanking him for the blessings he gave us that there's no way we could ever have wrought for ourselves, oh, there's praise and adoration to him and him alone for what he's done for us. All right, John chapter 1. I want to just grab some thoughts as we go through these first few verses of this chapter, because there's so many aspects about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ beyond just the word. And that's, if, by the time he gets down to verse, he begins, and it says, in the beginning was the word, capital W. We're talking about Christ already. And then down in verse 14, he's going to say, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And bless your hearts, he's seated at the right hand of the Father today in his flesh body. Okay, flesh and bone at least. I'm not sure if he's got blood right now. But when he appeared to them after his resurrection, he said, you know, they thought he was a spirit. And he said, a spirit hath not flesh and bone as you see me have. He didn't say anything about blood. I don't know. But what I do know is he's there and at least in his flesh and bone body. He's there. We can give him praise and honor and glory. We can worship him. All right? So, in the beginning was the Word. The first thought I want to draw your attention to, the fact that in the beginning was the Word, is that this Word is eternal. Always has been, always will be God. God is eternal. The book of Hebrews says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have to have some understanding about that verse, don't we? We know that the Word was made flesh. He didn't always have a flesh and bone body like he has now. But bless your hearts, he's always been the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. All right? Now we believe in the eternal sonship of Christ. We believe that he's always been the Son of God as the Word of God. It pleased God at some point to give him a body, but he's always been the Son of God as the Word of God. All right? And we know now that he's the only begotten of the Father. And as we preached recently, the rest of us are adopted into the family. Oh, what a blessing to be in that family of God. That's something to praise him for, isn't it? Okay. He's always been. He's eternal. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, I think I've said this before, but in the beginning was. You know, the first thing you could think of, he already was. Because he's always been eternal. This Word, the eternal Word of God. Remember that part about the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. I want to think about, just like Brother Kenneth talked about this morning, the aspect of community, the love that God has. You know, God's love wasn't simply a self-love. God's love wasn't just for him and him alone. His love moved him to give that love to someone else. Isn't that wonderful about love? The way to have more love is to give it away. Isn't that amazing? To have more love, give it away. That's what God's done. For God so loved the world that what? He gave. And what did he do? He gave us what he loved the most. He gave us himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's what his love drove him to do, to give, to show it, to express it to others. And God's love is eternal. God's love is unconditional. He didn't wait for you to clean up your act before he showed you his love. You're not going to fall out of grace and be eternally lost if you turn away. Right? Now, there's plenty. When we think about his love and his mercy and his grace, there's plenty that ought to keep us close to him. But I know there's been people I've known in the past that have expressed a love for God and genuinely showed it in their lives that somehow or another their faith became shipwrecked. I don't understand that. And I don't want to be that. And I don't want to experience it to learn it. Right? But my point is, because of his love, he did what was necessary. What we could never do ourselves because man fell into sin. God did for us what we could never do so that we could be with him forever. Now here's my point about that. Salvation is not so that we could just be something else so that we can be somewhere else someday. Salvation is not so that we can just be cleaned up and delivered from some things so that we can be with all those folks that we long to see again. That's not what salvation is all about. Salvation is God loved us so much he wants us to be with him forever. And that's what he's provided. Now it's a blessing and I look forward to seeing some folks again that I've known in the past. I look forward to seeing them and I'm persuaded in all the years that I've studied the word of God, I'm persuaded that in some way we'll know those folks. But the one that loved us so much that he did for us what we could never do for ourselves. He did that so that we could be with him forever. Because in our present condition, we cannot look upon the face of God and live. We can't. But he's going to take care of changing us and fashioning us like unto the glorious body of the Son of God. And in that condition, we will be able to be in his presence without any problem whatsoever. Because we'll be made holy. We'll be made righteous like the Son of God. Oh, bless your hearts. The beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And bless your hearts. All that Jesus has done is so that we can be with him forever. Forever. How wonderful is that? And the Word was God. There's a large denomination of people in the world within the umbrella of Christianity that believes that Jesus is the Son of God, but not that he's equal with God. Bless your hearts, he is God. He is God. And when you read the scriptures, and you'll find over in John chapter 10, and other places, but in John chapter 10, when Jesus was talking about my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. He's God. Now that angered the Jews because they didn't believe that he was the Son of God. That angered them, and they understood from the language that he was using that he was claiming to be God. Get that? They understood from their language that what he was saying is that he was claiming to be God. And that angered them terribly. But bless your hearts, we're blessed to know that today. He is God. How wonderful that is. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He didn't become God when he was born into this world. He was. He already was God. He was that Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, as we think about, so think of deity. Not only is he eternal, not only is there a community here, the desire to be together, but Christ is also deity. When you think of Christ, when you think of how special he is, think of deity. He is God. I know you know that, but I want to emphasize for that from this portion of Scripture. And by the way, that's how God visited this earth, through his Son. Because Christ is God, he came down. You know, now, when you get into that subject, it's hard to separate out some thoughts sometimes, because they're one. Okay? And when we think about the fact that they are one, then it's hard to separate Christ from the Father. And really, I haven't found it very profitable to try to do that. All right? But God had a purpose. And in order to fulfill that purpose, he, in the person of his Son, had to come to this earth and suffer and die to save us from our sins. Oh, as we think about how glorious, how special he is, that he is God. We praise God. Jesus said in John chapter 14, you believe in God, believe also in me. Because he's God. How wonderful that we can rejoice in the fact that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, how special is he? He's God. He's glorious. A name above every name. All right? So, and the Word was God. All right, verse 3. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. So he's creator, isn't he? If all things were made by him, he's creator God. So when you go back and look at in the New Testament, in the early part of the book of Genesis, when it says, let us make man in our own image. Us. You find the plurality of deity. You've got the Father. You've got the Son. You've got the Holy Spirit. Let us make man. Why else would he use a plural pronoun there? Let us make man. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Also in Hebrews chapter 11, remember when he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. All right. For by it the elders obtain a good report. All right, verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now that's a long way of saying that he made everything out of nothing. He has that power to call things into being. He's God. Bless your hearts, the Lord Jesus Christ. When Genesis says, let us make man, he was there. Not only was he there, but all things were made by him. The Word of God. All things were made by him. Creator. When you think about how special he is, that ought to come to mind. He's the Creator. All right? Verse 4. In him was life. In him was life. Do you remember in Genesis? It says God formed man out of the dust of the earth. All right. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And he became a living soul. Life is from God. It's precious. He gave it. All right? The natural life that we have is from Him. Just for, as He did for Adam and all of the human race since then, that life came from God. He's the source. But we also find that the Lord Jesus Christ, John 5:25, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That's when He speaks spiritual life into our souls. We are able to breathe the air. We're able to get about and do the things that we can because of natural life. But the only way that we can see God, the only way we can appreciate this Word of God, the only way that we can enjoy the things of God and have any desire to praise and adore His matchless name is because Christ has spoken life into our soul. The hour is coming and now is when the dead in trespasses and sins, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That's an irresistible call, isn't it? That's a calling that God does that man cannot resist. Now, you find the doctrines of the world, and you'll find that people will try to tell you that you could resist, and you can, if you resist so long, you'll be eternally lost. Well, bless your heart, this word tells me Christ speaks life, and they that hear shall live. They'll live. And that life is not this natural life until we return unto the dust of the earth from which we were formed to begin with. Bless your hearts, that life is eternal life. Oh, how wonderful it is that He has spoken life to our souls. All right? So in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. Do you understand why Jesus told Nicodemus he must be born again? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. When He speaks that life into us, then we're able to see the light of God. We're able to understand the things that God has done for us. We're able then to understand how glorious He is, and that we're able to praise His holy name. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I tell you what, light is great, isn't it? Appreciate the lights that we have in here. On a dark night, I appreciate a good light, don't you? You can get into a lot of trouble walking around in the darkness. Bless your hearts, the only way we can see the things of God is for Him to speak that life into us, because that life is the light of men. And we're able to see Him and praise His holy name. All right? So, verse 4. The life as a source. And that life is the light of men. The only way we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is by the life that He's given us. All right? Now, we'll drop down to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Do you believe that the Son of God literally came to this earth and walked upon this earth? Yes. Do you believe that He came in the flesh? Yes. You know, that's the spirit of Antichrist that denieth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Antichrist. And John in his day even said there are many antichrists. You know, the scripture seems to think that there's going to be some character revealed in the future. I'm just not settled on that. There seems to be some indication there'll be some character. But we don't have to worry about when this Antichrist is going to come. John said there are many Antichrists already. And by this we know it's the last time. But even if there were some figure in the world that rose and denied God and tried to draw all the people of God away, we don't have to worry about that. Bless your hearts, we understand what Jesus has done and what he's accomplished for us. And whatever direction this world goes, bless your hearts, we're safe in the blood of Jesus. But that word had to be made flesh. He had to come to this earth because he's the only one that could fully satisfy God's purpose. And so the word had to be made flesh. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. All right? Because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Because they were flesh and blood, he had to become flesh and blood. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. That through death. And I love the precision of scripture, don't you? Not by death, but through it. He went into it. He came out of it. That's the glory of Christ. And not only had he done the Father's will, not only did he do all that the Father sent him to do, bless your hearts, what God was satisfied with his finished work and raised him from the dead. Now listen, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. All right? In 1 Corinthians 15, I don't have time to read a lot of it, but 1 Corinthians 15, the lengthiest lesson that we have on the subject of the resurrection. And let me turn to it, because I do need to read, make sure I read, get it right. 1 Corinthians 15. When he gets down to verse 45. Maybe by the time I get there, you can get there too. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Remember that? We quoted from Genesis. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He formed man of the dust of the earth. Then he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. And he became a living soul. With natural life. And then he sinned. And because of sin, death came into the world. And he had no way to reconcile or recover himself from his sinful condition. And so if all we had is Adam, do you know where we would be headed? We'd be lost. Lost. If all we had is Adam. No matter, I've known some mighty good men. I've known some mighty good women. But none of them could pay my sin debt. And if all we had is Adam, we'd still be dead. With no hope of living with God. All right? And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam. Some folks say the second Adam. That's not scriptural. We know what they're talking about, but it's just not scriptural. It's the last Adam. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. He had a body of flesh, but he was conceived with the Holy Ghost. He had no sin. He was the only one that was a fit sacrifice for our sin. And unlike Adam, there was no sin about it. And unlike Adam, Jesus was sent to this earth to do one thing. To save his people from their sins. So he was given a body. Hebrews chapter 10, where Brother Kenneth was this morning. If you keep reading in that chapter, you'll find God had prepared for him a body. And that body was free from sin. And that body rendered perfect obedience to the Father. And that body did everything that God sent him to do. The voice from heaven, at least on two occasions, said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." If God, who is holy, 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 says he's well pleased, he's pleased. Infinitely pleased. And that body went to the cross and was nailed there. And I like the idea that it wasn't the nails that held him there. It was the love that he has for his people. Because he knew them individually. He knew everyone for whom he was dying. He bore them upon his heart. He bare his body to the tree and put away their sin debt forever. That's how special he is. He put away. Adam couldn't do that. If all we had was Adam, we'd have natural life, we'd die, and we'd go back to the dust of the earth. But in Christ, he is a quickening spirit. He calls us from a death in sins to a life in Christ. And someday, he's going to call these bodies from the grave. He's going to do that. You know, John chapter 5, when he said, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. But later on, he's going to say, the hour is coming. It didn't say now is. The hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall come forth, or shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. He is the one that's going to call these bodies from the grave. And all for whom he died is going to go home to be with him, because that's why he came. So that we could be with him forever. Not just so we could be somewhere else in a better way, in a better circumstance. No, he wanted us to be with him. He said in John 14:3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He loves us so much that he wants to be with us forever. That's why we praise him. That's why we are to love him. Because he loved us so much that he gave himself for our sins. That we could be with him forever. That's why the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So that we could be with him. And in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Oh, as we think about how special. I know that word fails, but how special he is. When we consider how special our Lord and Savior is, it causes us to want to praise his holy name. It causes us to want to thank him for all that he's done for us. So how special is he? In all ways, Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now that's fact. And the angels of heaven praise him for that. That he is Lord. We may not always praise him for that here, but that's fact. And he is praised. Bless your heart, someday every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Someday that's going to happen. But you know what? How special is he? On your best day, he's infinitely more special than we represent him with our walk. He is infinitely more special than we represent him. But may God help us to try to honor him and represent him as best we can. That's how we give glory to his matchless name. That's how we're a good influence on others. Let's see, that'd be salt and light, wouldn't it? That's how we can be a blessing to others and an encouragement to others. May God help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and give him praise and honor and glory in every day that we live. May God bless you is our prayer.